As we approach the close of this season of Advent, we begin this time of worship and recall our baptismal grace. To the Father who is constantly with us, sustaining the created world. To the Son, born of a virgin. To the Holy Spirit, by whom the Son Emmanuel was conceived. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We bow our heads. We pray for you to come to us, Lord Jesus. Even as we prepare to receive and welcome you, we continue to sin against you. Hear our prayers as we focus in silence on you. O Lord Emmanuel, we have not loved you the way we ought and have sinned against you in our words and actions and have not done what you command. We know the name above all names, the name of Jesus, which means the Lord saves. And Emmanuel, God is with us. Yet so often we do not call upon your name in time of trouble. We have misused your name and have not called upon your name as we should to pray, praise, and give thanks. With repentant hearts, we ask you to come, Lord Jesus. God has heard our prayer. God is with us, and Jesus Christ is in our midst as he promised. By his death and resurrection, he forgives our sins and opens the gates of heaven to us. By our baptism, we have been given new life as children of God. At the command and promise of Emmanuel, our Lord Jesus Christ is a called and ordained servant of the word, and in the stead and by the command of Christ, I declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Redeemed, restored, and ready to serve our Lord, we now greet one another in the peace of the Lord. In our gospel lesson for this, the fourth and final Sunday in the season of Advent, comes to us from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the first chapter, the birth of Jesus, the role of Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. And as we started the portions of Holy Baptism a couple of weeks ago, we conclude them this morning, parts 3 and 4 from Dr. Martin Luther's Small Catechism. How can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism, but with the word of God, it is a baptism. That is a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Where is this written? St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Friends, we hear these words from 1 John again. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is our text. You may be seated. Friends, I want you to imagine something for a moment here. You're in the midst of this final week for Christmas, and with all the things you've got going on, one of these Christian television stations that loves to interview not just the celebrity type, but normal, everyday people, comes up to you and says, we want you to pick somebody from the Christmas story. And, you know, just we'll have somebody there that can ask and answer some questions for you, but we'd like you to pick somebody and talk about them for a little bit. Well, I can imagine about probably half of you would probably take off running in the other direction. But those of you that, it's like, well, I guess, who are you going to pick? You get the chance now to talk and let the world hear about someone from the Christmas story. And look, the obvious one would be the baby Jesus, although, you know, we're talking about a baby. And even though he was the Savior of all mankind, there were a lot of people that had become a part of this. So would you want to be the one that would like to talk about his mother, Mary? A lot to talk about there. The one who, as a virgin, gave birth to the baby Jesus, and then with all the events going on, kept all those things, pondering them in her heart until the right time. Would you like to be the one to talk about the shepherds and their role, how when they started their, we'll use the term, shift that day, they sure didn't know what was going to be brought upon them. Would you like to talk about being one of the magi, one of the wise men, who spotted this star, knew what it was, came a long distance bearing fantastic gifts, all to worship the Christ child, and goes exactly where you would expect him to go, to the city that was the center of activity for the Jews, and ask, well, where is he that has been born king of the Jews amidst an entire city that was supposed to be worshiping the Lord God that had foretold this, and a king who was utterly stumped? The list goes on and on, but we've kind of overlooked one person here. How about Joseph? Would you be the one that would like to talk about him? My guess is that far fewer people spend as much time thinking about him, discussing him, sharing the role that he played. And yet, from the very beginning, his role is as critical as any in terms of setting forth what needed to happen and ultimately what did happen. Joseph was right in the heart of all of these things. And so, unfortunately, as people who have talked about Joseph, just as many of them, if not more, seem to get it wrong. And the myths that are out there about Joseph are, well, something that's probably worth spending at least a few minutes, even as our focus this morning ultimately is about his son and God's son who came into this world. Let's start by dispelling a couple of myths that are out there. Number one is the myth that, you know, there really isn't that much to get to know about Joseph. Well, compared to some of the others that are out there and the number of verses that are devoted to that, I suppose that might be true, but the very idea that Scripture just doesn't tell us anything about him is a complete fallacy. We know everything we need to know about Joseph and who he was and what ultimately his purpose was. we see him right off the bat in the Gospel of Matthew. And you know, lest you think that his role is merely kind of, well, shall we say, an honorary one, Matthew begins his gospel with a genealogy that paints all the way back to King David and then goes on from there, from Abraham through King David, how that was fulfilled through Joseph. So Joseph was not just a figurehead. Joseph was important. He was also somebody that, as we read through all the little things that are said about him, you get a very good picture, even if it's a picture you weren't quite expecting, of who this Joseph really is. Myth number two is that the two Gospels that talk about him, Matthew and Luke, paint very different pictures of who he is. Nothing could be farther from the truth. You know, the fact is that it's amazing how consistent the words of Matthew and Luke are. You go back and look at the Christmas story. One of the things that you have to notice is that while Matthew has his parts and Luke has his parts, and okay, John with his, in the beginning was the Word was with God. That's the theme of our children's Christmas program. We hope you'll join us for that. There was no overlap. We learn what we learn about the beginnings of Jesus when he was born as a baby from either Matthew or Luke, but there's essentially no overlap. Matthew tells us the things Luke does not, and Luke tells us the things Matthew does not. They fit together like a glove. And between the two, it tells us, it gives us a nice, consistent picture of who this person really is. And then finally, the third myth, and this is the one that I think is going to lead us into our event, our discussion today of what Jesus has done for us. And that is the role that not only did Joseph play, but that as far as we can tell, we would perceive Joseph to be playing. And this is where I've heard a lot of things. People that they've tried to interview to talk a little bit about Joseph, and I've heard as much about Joseph that is wrong as what is right. And the scriptures make it clear what we have here. We have someone that first, he's introduced as the fulfillment of the Davidic line, the line of David, the house and lineage of David. The next thing we hear is about Joseph, who, without a doubt, has some doubts. Because in a human sense, the pieces of the puzzle don't add up regarding why Mary is expecting. We find out from the other gospel, from Luke, that Mary had spent 3 months being with Elizabeth. You can only imagine that it was probably as she returned that this word now really got out. And it's like, well, we understand in a human sense that the story wouldn't make much sense. And the Holy Spirit, well, that's where the angel came in. And lest we forget, an angel intervened on Joseph's behalf more than once. First to tell him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Once after the Magi left and get up, for Herod wishes to take the child's life. And then finally, first to notify him that Herod was dead, and then to warn him not to return to Bethlehem, which is where they end up finally in Nazareth. But from that point on, what we see is a Joseph that doesn't connect very well with today's modern society. Without a doubt, if we are being interviewed about being a shepherd, being a wise man, even being Mary, at some point we're going to keep circling back to how did we feel about when all this was happening? How did we feel as this was taking place? And I guess it's a fair question, because to be a witness to history and to be an integral part where salvation for mankind was being opened up forever is an amazing thing. But that wasn't Joseph. If you are going to try to attach emotions to Joseph, aside from the doubt that he felt there for a while until the angel intervened, you've missed the whole point. Joseph was a man of service. And God chose him as a person that was going to be resolute in what it is that he had to do. Which is why even when Mary herself might be the one supplying the account in Luke, she's the one that says, And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. You know, he didn't take the job solo, but this was him who was doing what he was supposed to do. He was a man of service, even as a carpenter. The carpentry business was not terribly lucrative back then. For all I know, if I talked to carpenters today, it still wouldn't be. But it was something where these people were seen as faithful, because whenever something was needed in the synagogue, even as from time to time we need things in our place of worship here, and we want to turn to somebody that we know we can trust, somebody who is going to take seriously the fact that this is being done in the house of the Lord. Joseph understood that. And as a carpenter, that's what he passed on to his son. Not to wonder what's the best we can do, but simply to have an eye that knows we have been given a task and we're not going to let anything get in the way of it. As Jesus began his ministry, especially when he returned to his hometown, he was referred to as the carpenter's son. Now, yes, that was a way of identifying who he was, because there may have been a lot of Josephs or whatever, and this is how they would delineate it. Is sometimes they delineated by the town you came from if you were in a different community, or by the profession. And to be called the carpenter's son actually was a compliment, because it did say that this person, yes, learned the roles of faithfulness. And we read in the letter of Hebrews how Jesus was faithful as a son. And guess what? It isn't just referring to God the Father, but it's also referring to what he learned as he was growing up, because Joseph was given the role. Now, nothing for Joseph was easy. And it's hard for us to imagine people that just are virtually emotionless. And I don't mean that they have no feeling. I mean that they are so resolute on the purpose for which God has sent them, they're never going to take the time to discuss their feelings, to discuss their emotions, or to see how that is going to affect anything except how are they going to get the job completed. When you're poor, and most likely Joseph spent most of his life poor, the decisions that have to be made are not easy. Well, they aren't in our life either. And ultimately, that's why I wanted to share this today, because we ourselves, as we approach Christmas, kind of face the same thing. It seems like each year, and especially in the case of some of our people here, our reality changes so much from one year to the next, of the things we're responsible for, of the things we are facing, of the things that are going on around us. How are we going to be able, whether it's to make ends meet, to be able to get through something that either is going to call for the best of us on behalf of ourselves or someone else? And the way to do it is to remember what Joseph gave. His contribution. Utter, utter faithfulness. This is what the Lord has instructed him to do. And this is what he's going to do. As we approach Christmas, we always wonder, you know, okay, I got everything in my house that I possibly could use. I don't need anything more. But if somebody is going to keep asking me, well, can we get you something? Well, a restaurant gift certificate might be nice. What's even nicer is to try to, first of all, live your life in the same faithfulness that God gave to his son, that God gave to his son's father, Joseph, and then to make sure that that life is extended. There is no better gift than to pass on the kind of faithfulness that hopefully we have seen. And if we have not seen it, to learn it ourselves, to see that God still has a path that he wants us to walk down. And he still is there for us so that we can do what with him what we could not do without him. That's what getting the work done is all about. And whether it's two men of God from Bible times, one man, one woman, as you're out there by yourself as a widow or a widower, with or without family, whatever it is, my friends, much is left to be done. But as God has given us all the gifts and all the things that we need for this life, may he also bless you as he blesses you with Jesus, who is faithful unto death, so that we may receive the crown of life. may we also be faithful unto death. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Emmanuel, we praise you for being God with us since creation. We thank you for being God with us, the Word made flesh. We thank you for being God with us in all eternity. We ask you to be with us, always in the fellowship of this body in Christ, as you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, as we prepare for another festival of your birth, may we always be able to possess the true joys of this and to welcome you into our lives. Open our hearts to receive you as you have been sent to us as a propitiation for our sin, that we may know you and have eternal life and may be your special people. May we always sing your praises for the great miracle and mystery of Christmas, so that the entire world may kneel before the manger child and know him as Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So may light shine on the nations and to all of your people through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, there are many people that need the light and joy of this holy festival placed into their homes this year. Those that have lost loved ones, those that are sad or sick or poor or lonely or dispossessed or feeling loveless. Bless all of the people that must be away from family, including those that will be serving in the public sector and those that serve in the military that will be far from home. Keep safe all of those who travel. Make your generous love shine through in the light of all of your children. Help us always to show compassion and generous love to all in need. A special prayer now on behalf of the Merrill Meyer family on the sudden passing of their grandmother. Be with us, Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we continue in the middle of page 9 as we close in prayer together. O Holy Lord, Emmanuel and God with us, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may make ready the way of your Son in remembrance of his birth to the Virgin, in celebration of his presence in word and sacrament, and in preparation for his return to bring to fulfillment all things. Lead us to celebrate with holy hearts the holy season of his birth and to confess his coming to all the world, that many may come to know with us the joy of his appearing. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.